But good morning to you again. This morning we'll begin Christmas sermons. And so there's information about on the front of the bulletin about what I'll be focusing on as we lead up to the celebration of the coming of Jesus Christ into our world at His birth in Bethlehem on Christmas Day. One of the things I'm wondering about this year is what does it matter to the world, to our country, and to people locally here where we live that Jesus was born in Bethlehem? I know it matters to us as Christians, but to those who do not believe and who live in this world, does any of this matter to them, what we're doing this time of year? Why would the world care about the coming of Jesus Christ and what is worth celebrating? So I want us to think in the coming weeks about the world in which we live and what do they really need to hear this time of year. This place that we live, this world, is a dark place. It's filled with hatred and violence and suffering and oppression, apathy, greed, and more. All over the world, the news is bad. You look at what's going on in our country and you see that we are not exempt or immune from these same problems. Our country is experiencing bitter divisiveness along social and political issues. There are natural disasters that are destroying and disrupting lives from one coast to the other, all while people go on with the things we all face in life. We begin to wonder, what does Christmas matter to the people who live in our country? And there's same issues that people are facing locally. Today, we begin our Lottie Moon emphasis, which is our offering for world missions, for international missions. Why do we still collect an offering? Why focus on international missions? Why do we send missionaries all over the world? Jordan will have more to say about that here in a little while. But this morning, I want us to read from John chapter 1 and try to think about why is it important to the people who live in our world, all over the world, that this is Christmas, that Jesus came to us at His birth in Bethlehem. I'm going to read from John chapter 1, starting with verse 1. We read this responsively earlier, so this should be somewhat familiar to you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. All right, so what does it matter to the world that Jesus was born on Christmas Day? Let me give you a few things that I think John tells us very clearly here. The first one is that all people around the world need to know that Jesus is the divine Son of God, who gives life and light to all who believe. It's so important that we grasp what John is telling us about Jesus here, The significance of Jesus Christ is found in who he truly is. More than a rabbi, more than a prophet, more than a healer. We need to understand what John is telling us about the true identity of Jesus Christ. There are several things that John says. First, he says that Jesus is the second person of the Trinity, the Son, who is one with God the Father and was with God before creation. You see, verse 1 contains some extraordinary truths about Jesus. It's a foundational confession of three things. First of all, that Jesus existed before space and time were created. In the beginning, Jesus was there with God. Secondly, it says that Jesus has a distinct identity from God the Father. John says he was with God, and the language is fascinating. It describes kind of this dynamic relationship between God the Father and Jesus the Son, right there at the beginning of all things. And third, John tells us that Jesus was also one with the Father. And so while he is distinct from the Father, he is also one with the Father. Jesus is both God and he is the Son, the second person of the Trinity. Doesn't that blow your mind? Hey, your life group teachers are going to explain the Trinity to you today. You ask them about that. God the Father is all the God there is. Jesus the Son is all of God that you and I ever need to know. And the Holy Spirit is all of God that you and I experience in this lifetime. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all God. There's the Trinity right there. Another thing that John tells us is that Jesus participated with God the Father when all things were created. In verse 3, he says, all things were made by him. All things. In the NIV that I read, it should be read to include all realities except God. So apart from the work of Jesus, nothing was created. He had a hand in everything that exists in our universe. John also says that Jesus is the giver of both life and light to humanity. In verse 4, Jesus is the source of life. His life gives light to all people. Jesus is the source of life, not only through creation, but by saving us from our sin. Jesus gives life to us that begins now, and it will last forever. It is so essential that the people in this world have the opportunity to hear who Jesus is and to recognize the truth of that. One time, a middle-aged woman had a heart attack, and she was taken to the hospital. And while on the operating table, she died, and she had this near-death experience where she went to heaven, and she met St. Peter face-to-face. And St. Peter explains to her that this was not her time, that he understood she had another 30 to 40 years to live. And so later she woke up and she recovered there in the hospital. She decided that since she had all that time left in this life, she was going to have some work done. So she had a facelift. She had liposuction, a tummy tuck. She even had someone come in to color her hair and to do other things that a woman might do. And so she figures, you know, it's worth it because I have all of this time left on earth. And so when she got done at the hospital, she walks out the front door and wham, she's hit by an ambulance and dies instantly. And so there at the pearly gates, she's in front of St. Peter again and she asks, I thought you said I had another 30, 40 years. To which Peter replies, hey, I didn't recognize you then, but I recognize you now. Yeah, your time's up. She had all that work done, see. Look, it's the most important question you may ever be asked. Do you recognize Jesus? See, I could talk about him all day. What's important is whether or not you see and hear the truth of who he is. And I want all the people in the world to have the opportunity to recognize Jesus, the truth of who He really is. We need to ask ourselves, do I recognize Him? In what do I believe? In what am I trusting? The second thing that we see in the text that's important for the world is that the reaction of people to the birth of Jesus reveals the dark reality of the world in which we live. And John does not mince words, and he is very clear about this current state of affairs, not just in the world in which he lived, but it's kind of the same world you and I live in today. It's a dark place. And John describes what happened when Jesus was born and came into our world. He was rejected. And it ultimately led to his death on the cross, which was exactly what God had planned all along. But look at what John says. He says that Jesus entered our world at his birth, shining his life-giving light into the darkness, but the darkness did not understand. The darkness did not accept. The darkness did not receive or understand Jesus. Now remember, John is writing from the perspective of the resurrection. There is no doubt how this story ends. The light shone in the darkness. The light continues to shine in the darkness. It's true, the darkness did not accept Jesus, but neither did the darkness have victory over the light of Christ. The resurrection means that Jesus is victorious over the darkness. John says in verse 10 that the world Jesus created did not recognize him. That means that the world, that place where all humanity lives, John is referring to all the peoples of the earth, they did not recognize him. The final clause in verse 10 announces the tragedy of the human situation. The one who created all people came into the world, but his creation did not recognize him. It's a heartbreaking tragedy. And then in verse 11, to make it worse, John tells us Jesus was rejected even by his own people. Here John is talking about how Jesus came into his own historical land, to the Jews, to national Israel, and the Jews rejected him and had nothing to do with him. John, in his gospel, viewed this non-receiving of Jesus by Israel as a conscious decision of rejection. They chose not to believe in Jesus Christ. And so John allows us to see how the world rejected Jesus. He was rejected by Judaism. He was rejected by the people of the world who failed to understand the presence and activity of God. John tells us, beyond any doubt, the world is a dark place. This world is not neutral towards Jesus. This world is not curious about God and His ways. John tells us that the world is opposed, even hostile, to the light of Jesus Christ. The real question I need to come to grips with then is, do I recognize the darkness of sin within my own heart and life? The Bible tells us that we are all sinners, which means that the darkness John describes here is a part of who I am. And that's why Jesus came into this world, to overcome the darkness that is in me. Is there sin? Is there rebellion? Is there hostility in your own life that you need to allow the Lord to help you to leave behind this day? The third thing that the text tells us about why this is so important for the world is that the birth of Jesus means hope for our dark world, because Jesus brings the possibility of a changed life and a new relationship with God starting now and lasting forever. There is hope for the world. Despite the world's hostile condition, despite the fact that the world rejects the light of Christ, God loves the world. And what John tells us is that even though the world is hostile and has nothing to do with Christ, Christ still came into our world to save it. It's the best news we could ever possibly hear. God loves even those who actively oppose Him. Those who do not understand Him. God loves even those who reject Him. Look at what John says. In verses 12 through 13, he says that those who receive Jesus by faith become children of God, which gives us hope. Not everyone is going to reject Jesus. Some will receive Him by faith. Those are the people that Jesus empowers to become children of God. Those who believe. New life in Christ is possible through grace as a gift, and it's received through our faith or our trust in Christ. And John says literally, he gives it to those who are believing. Which means that it's not just something you do one time when you're a 7-year-old kid. It means that you have to be believing one day and then every day. Now and forever. Those are the people Jesus makes into children of God. I come to believe that Jesus is who the Bible says He is. I trust in His death and resurrection to save me from my sin. And each new day, I believe. I follow. I trust, I obey the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 14, John tells us that Jesus became one of us to remind us that God is with us and to reveal to us God's glory, God's truth, and God's grace. He says the Word became flesh. That means the eternal Son of God became truly human. He became one of us. He became flesh and blood so that when the time came, He could give that flesh and blood as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Jesus did not come just to save us. He came to show us how God is with us both now and forever. And John says that Jesus tabernacled among us. He made His dwelling among us. The tabernacle in the midst of the Old Testament, children of Israel, was a sign of God's presence in the wilderness as God led them to the promised land. And the presence of God dwelt there at the tabernacle. Jesus, like the tabernacle, moved with His disciples as their first helper or counselor, revealing to them that God was with them. And Jesus encouraged His troubled disciples in John 14 that when He departed, He would send another helper or counselor who would be with them until the close of time. That is the Holy Spirit, and it is the Spirit who dwells in us and reminds us that God is truly with us. Jesus was full of two characteristics usually reserved only for God. John says He's full of grace and truth. Grace is God's loving kindness. It's the chesed, love of God, His steadfast or His mercy, His love that is freely given. And that word truth describes God's faithfulness, His steadfastness, and His consistency. God is true to His word, for instance, from one age to the age, from one generation to the next. God is true. He is consistent. He is faithful. He is steadfast. So Jesus is fully God and fully human. He reveals that God is with us. He reveals God's glory, God's grace, and God's truth. The result of His coming is to be our believing and accepting Him. Those who do this become God's children and are saved. This means there is hope for the world. Now this world is looking for hope. It's looking for hope in all the wrong places. Let me give you an example. Here's a commercial that you might remember from the 1970s.
I'd like to buy the world a home, furnish it with love, grow apple trees, honey Snow White Turtle Dove. I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. I'd like to buy the world a cup and keep it company.
That's the Snow White
Turtle Dove. I'd like to teach the world to sing.
Remember that? Those darn hippies. Hey, let me tell you, I wish it was that simple. I wish all you had to do was buy everyone in the world a Coke and grow apple trees and honeybees and teach them to sing in perfect harmony, and everything would be okay. The theological term we have for that is malarkey. And the reason why that's not going to help is because of what I just got through saying. Our world is a dark place. And it's going to take more than Coca-Cola to overcome our sin. The world will not find hope and be changed through the fruit of any human endeavor. Listen to me, hope is not found in the world coming together as one. Hope is not found in any government, policy, or solution. It's not found in any charity. It's not found in science or any Coke product. Hope is found in Jesus Christ. And because of Jesus Christ, there is no reason to despair. The Bible tells us that our hope has come to this world. This message is essential. This is why we support the Lottie Moon Christmas offering for international missions. The world needs to hear the good news about Jesus Christ. The world knows about Coke. It's changed nothing. Now the world needs to hear about Christ. This is why we support missionaries like Phil and Rhonda Barnes in Romania. This is why we send teams worldwide to support those who serve abroad and to work with them in accomplishing their mission of taking the gospel to all the peoples of the world. This is why we support organizations and ministries like Operation Christmas Child. It's not because I believe every child in the world needs a Christmas gift. It's because I believe every child in the world needs a chance to hear and respond to the gospel. Sending those boxes overseas may or may not change anything in their lives, except it gives them the chance to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And that is what's important. There is hope. Despite the darkness, God is present among us with all His power, with His constant loving faithfulness, inviting us to leave the darkness and come into His light and His life. Those who do, those who believe or trust in Christ, receive new life. They become God's children now and forever. So let me ask you, is God calling you to come out of the darkness and into His light this Christmas? Is this the time for you to invite others to do the same? Folks, and we'll talk about this in the coming weeks, there are people in Aransas County who need to hear the gospel. Studies show they will come to church if their friends invite them. Is this the time for you to invite your friends, your family, your neighbors to come to church and to hear the good news of Jesus Christ? I'm going to give them the opportunity to hear and respond every Sunday. You invite them to come and hear and respond. This morning, as we close, I want to invite you to become a child of God by trusting in Jesus as your Savior and making Him your Lord. I want to invite you to come out of the darkness and into His light, to live in God's grace and truth. I challenge you to ask the Lord this morning to place on your heart just one person, someone who needs to hear and respond to the gospel? Who is someone you can invite to church this Christmas? And I invite you to pray for the work of our missionaries overseas, to pray for all of those boxes that will be sent overseas, to pray for the money that we collect that will be sent to fund the efforts of missionaries working overseas. Pray that God would shine the light in the darkness, that people would respond, and ask God to show you how you might support the unending or the unfinished task of world missions. How do you need to respond to the word of the Lord this morning? Let's pray together. Lord, we know that what John has told us in chapter 1 of his gospel is the truth, especially about the world in which we live. Sin has affected everything, and this is a dark place indeed. There is sin within me. There is sin within others. There is sin all around us, and it can cause us to be blind, even to be hostile towards you. And as a result, this is a very evil, very dark place to live. And it's going to take more than just good ideas or goodwill or science or politics to change people's lives. It's going to take the good news of Jesus Christ. So I pray, Lord, this morning that you would shine your light into our lives, dispel the darkness, call us out to live in your grace and your truth. I pray that every person here would come to see Jesus Christ for who he really is. Make him their Savior and their Lord. And we pray for the effort of those who are taking the gospel all over the world. May every child in this world have the opportunity to hear and respond to the good news of Jesus Christ. We pray that adults also would hear and respond to the good news of Jesus Christ. Now may your will be done in our lives this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.